Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, God, as humbly as we know how, thanking you for this another day that you've given to us. Thank you, Father, for a new year, God. We consider it, God, a blessing and a new opportunity, God, to do your will in this world, O God. Father, we recognize that we have but a short time, Lord. And Father, we can work only while it is day. So Father, we thank you for your encouragement. We thank you for your push, God. We thank you, Father, for the leading of the Holy Spirit, God, to do the things that you've called us to do in these last and evil days. We pray, Father, that you would give us the strength, God, and the anointing, God, to continue, Lord, until our time is finished here on earth, O God, and that we would be able to say like Paul, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, I fought a good fight, and now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Father, we give you all the glory for it, and we give you the praise. We pray now, Father, that you would open up our ears of understanding that we might hear you on today. We pray, Father, that you would use your servant, God, to speak a word into the heart of your people. And we pray, Father, that you would give us receptive hearts, that we would receive it, not only hear it, but, Father, be doers of it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Amen. Today's message, visions, goals, and dreams. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, the 40th chapter, Ezekiel 40. We're going to read just a few verses from there to get us started. Ezekiel 40, verses 2 through 4. Goals, visions, dreams. Amen. This is that time. This is January 1st, 2006. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a time where most people begin to have their resolutions and we begin to look at where we're going in the next year or this year. And we reflect also on what we have come through. And it's a good time to do that. It's really a good time to do that. But unfortunately, if you would think about it, the sad fact is that most people who make their New Year's resolutions don't end up following through with them. Too often we take this time and it's just form. You know, we know that this is the time where we're supposed to make that New Year's resolutions, and we do that. And we stand up and we say, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to read my word more. I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to write that book that he told me to write. We have all kinds of things that we plan to do. We say that we're going to do. But too often, we don't do it. Too often our New Year's resolutions don't go beyond January. We may repeat it, maybe, up until maybe the 15th of January. But by February, we got a whole new focus. The fizz is gone. You know, the when we watched the ball drop, we saw all of the confetti and all of that, you know, the party, so to speak. Of the new year and the ball dropping in New York City and the lights going off and all of that fanfare is gone. It's dissipated. And so does our goals. So does our vision for our lives in the future. And then we go back to living day by day. We go back to living whatever will be. And we think, you know, that is going to make it. That's going to get us through because we're walking by faith and not by sight. Well, you missed it. You missed it. And that's the reason that many times people next year have the same goal as they had this year. But this time I mean it. So we want to talk about visions, goals, and dreams. Ezekiel, the 40th chapter, verses 2 through 4 says, in the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measure of reed, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. In the time, in this scripture, just to set the background, what's happening here is, in the time of their captivity, God showed to Ezekiel a vision for the new temple. Even in our times when things seem to be going nowhere, we seem to be in captivity sometimes, that's the time that God will show you a vision of where you're going to be. We were coming to the, even as we come to the end of 2005, God showed some of us a vision for where we were going to be. He showed us a vision for even this church, and he gave that to me. And we see, even though we may not see it manifest right now, but this is the time when it seems like nothing is going on. This is the time where God will stop and show you a vision for the future. And I suspect that many of us have had a vision for the future, not only just in terms of the church, but our personal lives. We have a vision for the future. Let me tell you something. It's good to dream. It's good to sit and spend time with God and allow him to show you visions. Now, I can imagine that in the place where Ezekiel was at the time, that vision seems so far off. God, look, I've been there. We had a temple, we had a tabernacle, we had all of those things. We blew it. We lost it. It is not there. And these people ain't about to let us go. So why are you showing me a vision of something we doesn't look like we're going to attain to? We're not even in control of ourselves, let alone have the ability to fulfill a vision. It's in those times where it seems like nothing is going on, God will show you a vision that you don't think you can achieve. That's the one that comes from God. That's the one. That's the one. If you have a vision that you know immediately you can achieve, you know just what to do and how to do it, that's not the vision from God. It's too small. But God is showing us a vision for the future where we can't even imagine how we're going to get there. Eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. That's the kind of vision that comes from God. But let me tell you, we have to have it. We have to have a vision. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, without a vision, the people perish. Go to Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and I want to show you a few things. Leviticus 23. Matter of fact, I want a reader, please. Leviticus 23, read verses 24, 27, and 34. Amen. Everybody got it? Amen. Read.
Leviticus 23 and 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation.
24 and also 27 and 34.
Also, in the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Verse 34, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of the tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord.
Amen. Now, we've heard some messages concerning the feast. First Lady has talked to us about that. But I want to point out again something to you. The last two feasts that were talked about there in Leviticus were the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want to show you a significant point, some significant issues concerning our visions, goals, and dreams. Tabernacles, first of all, or rather, excuse me, trumpets was the next to last feast. But it has to do with awakening, with an awakening. This is where God took the time to show us and to tell us or call us to repentance. This is the time where God reminded us of the words of the prophets. This is where he told us, listen, let's take a moment and slow things down. Let's go back and take a look at what God has already said, what he said through his prophets. Most of us need to think about what messages you've heard over this last year. God did not pull you into a service and speak to you for nothing. We've had prophets even come in here. You've heard me speak certain words over you. These are important messages. And if God has brought you here, then God meant for you to take heed to the words that he has spoken. And those words of the prophets, God is saying in the time of the Feast of Trumpets, he is saying, hold up, listen, I want to wake you up. And this is the reason for the blowing of the trumpets. It's to wake you up and say, remember now everything that you have been taught, everything that you heard from the prophets. And it's a time to repent. Why? Because we're going somewhere. How many got visions? How many got a goal that they want to reach? God has talked to you in the back of your mind. You've got some place that you want to go. But we've got to make sure that we take the necessary steps to get there. And the first thing to do is to have a feast of trumpets. In other words, we need to have a time where we're going to remember what God has spoken to us, because everything that he has spoken to us in the past is preparation for our future. And it is a time to be called to repentance. Those things that I should have done, those things that I didn't do quite right, those things that God had commanded me to do and I ignored, it's time to say, God, I repent of my past mistakes, but I'm still going forward to my future. I'm going to make it to my goals. That's the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Tabernacles, on the other hand, came after that. That was the latter rain. That represented a final harvest. This is when God brought in the harvest for the labor that we've had in the previous year. It's also called the Feast of Lights, where God reveals something. He reveals all of those blessings that he talked to you about. He told us that if we would pay our tithes, he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. A lot of times those blessings seem to be delayed, but they're stored in heavenly places and we're simply waiting for the manifestation. We have been faithful because God told us to do a thing and we've done it. We've continued to do it. And even in the time of adversity, God, the devil tried to stop us and discourage us, but we pressed on and we continue to do that. God says in the Feast of Tabernacles is the time of harvest. This is when I'm going to reveal or enlighten you about the blessings that I've had in store for you. So I'm going from the time of trumpets, or the Feast of Trumpets, to the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going from the former rain, the things that God has done for me in the past, to the latter rain, the things that God is going to do for me now. But listen, in the midst of those two, there is something. Between the time or the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles, there's something going on we've got to understand. The Feast of Trumpets was a 10-day period. The last of those 10 days was the Day of Atonement. The entire period was a period of repentance, but it culminated or ended and all wound up on that one day of the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is a time where we make amends for everything that we've done in the past, whether they be good or bad. This is the time where you cash it in. This is the time where you take an account of all that you have done. And for those things that you missed it, be honest and simply say, God, I'm sorry I missed it. But this, the nice thing about this time is all debts are forgiven. Okay, now, I got myself into a little bit of a predicament with my brother and my sister, and we've broken fellowship. This is the time where all is forgiven. This is the day of atonement where I answer for all of those things. Even the things that I have done that were good things, I answer for it now because now I'm preparing to reap the harvest for those good things. This is the day of atonement. This is when I begin to cash it all in. But see, the thing that we got to recognize about cashing it all in, the day of atonement, where everything is done and culminated to, this is also the time where the slate is wiped clean. This is the time at the end of the Feast of Trumpets, in preparation for the Feast of Tabernacles, God says, repent, turn back to me for where you missed it, wipe the slate clean and open your arms and prepare for the harvest. And so in our pursuit to go after our dreams, our visions, our goals, we have to go from that day where God wakes us up and blows the trumpet, calls us to repentance. We wipe the slate clean and prepare ourselves. We have to move from that place to the place where we actually pursue that goal. Pursue those things that God has told us because he said now is the time of the latter rain. He's ready to give it to us. He's ready to do it. He's ready to do it. So what is it? What are the things? The thing I want to talk to you today, what are the things that hinder us from achieving or pursuing our goals? What gets in the way? Because we've heard this before. We've been at this place before. How many of us have been to a point of repentance and said, God, thank you for the atonement, the year of atonement. This is the year of Jubilee. We've heard these messages and we say, thank God for that. We've heard Paul when he said old things, are passed away. Come on, we understand that this is a new day, but after year, we find ourselves right back here in the same place where we make these plans, make these goals. We talk about our vision, but never pursue it. The thing is, we've got to understand the things that get in our way. We've got to look at the things that's going on between our trumpets and our tabernacle and find out what it is that has gotten in the way, hindered us to the point of stopping the vision. Here are some of the things. And I want you to write this down. I want you to say it in your spirit, in your heart of hearts, that none of these things are going to stop my vision this year. See, it's not enough just to get a vision. Every single one, I believe every child of God has had a vision. If you're spending time with God, you are not going to stand in God's presence and he say nothing. He not show you something. God promised us that he told us that we ought to pursue him and we ought to be like him. And he promised us, he said, that even in those things and even in our pursuit of him, if we ought to have the mind of Christ, but even when we don't, he said, those things, I'll even show them to you. If you be otherwise minded in anything otherwise minded, he said, even this I'll show. And so God is going to give you a vision. God is going to tell you where you ought to be. Not only that, he's going to show you how you ought to get there. But we've got to examine the things that stop us, the things that get in our way. First thing, turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verses 34 through 37. We need to learn to speak. We've got to learn to speak it, to say it. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 34 through 37 reads like this. Listen. Read.
O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Amen. Here, what God is saying is what we speak comes out of our hearts. When we have our goals and our vision, God has planted something in your heart. Amen. How many have actually had a word from God to tell them where they ought to be and where they were going? It's a vision that God puts down in you, and you know that you know that God spoke to you. You know what God wants to do. You may not see how to get there right now, but you know where God wants you to go. That's in the heart, and it's out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth ought to speak. So what's in your heart? What is it that God has placed inside you? What has he told you to do? What is it in your heart? Whatever that is, open your mouth. Open your mouth and speak it. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Those things, and I can tell whether it's good or bad. Because when you begin to speak, if it's good things that God has been speaking to you, if it's as good treasures that God has given you as your goals, it's going to come out good. If you've been meditating on evil things, if you've been meditating on all of your past failures, all of the things that you didn't do, how you didn't make last year's goals, where you stand right now, if your whole focus is on just the failures of life, then when you open your mouth, that's what you're going to speak. You're going to speak, I can't make it. You're going to speak, well, you know, we've tried this for so long and it hasn't happened yet. You're going to speak the evil things that's in your heart, but you need to sit down and say, God, show me a vision. Show me where you want me to go. And then begin to confess that daily, 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 confessing what God has spoken in your heart. As that thing becomes implanted in your heart, your mouth begins to speak those things. Every time you stand up to testify, you somehow take it and move it to the thing that God is going to do for you. God has spoken a unity, a message of unity. That's the vision for this church. And it seems like every message that God has given to me lately, somehow, I don't care if it's Genesis to Revelation, somehow it works its way back to unity. Everything that we say, everything that we do, ought to somehow push us closer and closer to the vision that God has given to us. Has God spoken to you about your family and its prosperity? Has God told you to get out of debt? Has God told you to do anything about your health? Everything, when you speak, you ought to speak healthy. Oh my God. Oh my God. When you open, if it's in your heart now, if it's in your heart, it's because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And oftentimes the enemy stops us because he stops us from speaking that thing that God has put into us. Don't tell nobody. Because see, if you fail, you're going to be embarrassed. But see, that's the thing that causes me to become committed to it. Number two, after you have spoken that thing, don't do it just in your quiet time. See, we'll take that vision and we'll say, God, in my secret closet, I'm going to speak that thing, what you have said to me. And we understand that faith comes by hearing, even if it's hearing ourselves. So there is a benefit to speaking the word, but it can't stop there. The number two thing is to write it and make it plain, not just for you, but for everybody. I'm going to show that to you. Or Stephanie's going to come up and show that to you. She's going to give us the scripture, and she's going to read that thing like she know it and always knew it.
Amen. Habakkuk 2:2.
There you go.
And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run with it that read it.
Listen to that. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? She said, write the vision. We got that part. Make it plain upon tables. In other words, you need to document what you're saying. Document your vision. Don't just say it, but document it. Why? Because see, what's going to happen then is you are then committed to it. See, it's documents in writing now. You can't go back and say, oh, you misunderstood me. I didn't really say I was going to do that. I said I was going to work towards, or I was going to try to. No. You said this is what God told you. So you sort of commit yourself. You locked in now. Amen. You write the vision. Therefore, you're committed to it. But listen to this. Not only that, but he said so that they may run with it. Huh? If I'm not going to be able to go forward if I haven't seen it documented. We got a vision for this church. It is documented. I posted it up on the bulletin board there. Why? So when you read it, you can go for it. God will then speak to you and tell you the hows when you see it in writing, the whats. So we know what it is that we're supposed to do. God is supposed to now speak to some of you and tell you how to go about doing it. And then you now can't say, well, I didn't know we were supposed to do that. Oh, you didn't know unity was? Read it. It's documented. You said you were committed to the vision of this church. Yeah, Pastor, but I just didn't understand what it was. Read it. Read it. What are we here for? Read it. So that you can run with it. So it's more than just speaking. Too many people are talking. We speak it every year. Every year we say the vision and we end it right there. God says, go beyond that. I want you to document it. So that when you read it, as well as others, we can run with it. You want to reach your goals this year. We want to reach our goals this year. We got to run with it. Third, coming out of Psalms 27, the other thing that hinders us and stops us, everybody know this, fear. Fear. Because see, the thing is, we've got to step out of our comfort zone. In order to reach a goal, the thing is, if we have a true goal from God, we will not immediately be able to tell how to do it. Otherwise, it's too small. If I got a goal of going to work every day, that's too small. I know exactly how to get there. I'm already doing that. And a lot of times we set goals of things we've already done. We know that we're capable of doing it. But when God wants to really push us, he will call us to do something we don't believe we have the ability. As a matter of fact, we don't have the ability to do right now. Because then we have to rely on him. See, if God calls me to do something that I've been practicing all this time, then I don't have to have a whole lot of faith to get it done. I've been teaching for more than 20 years. My goal is to be a teacher. I'm going to teach Sunday school this year. That ain't no goal. God has got a bigger vision for you. If you've been doing that year after year after year, God is ready to move you on to something else. He's going to call you to do something that's going to have to stretch you, that you are not going to easily see in you. Oh, you know, that's just not me. That's not me. I just can't go out and witness. I just don't have that, you know, I don't have that. That's not my anointing. That's probably exactly what God's trying to tell you to do. Because it's not you. That's exactly what he wants you to say. That's just not you. Great. Then it'll have to be me. But if it's you, that is not your vision. That's your present. Visions always talk about something far reaching. It talks about something that you have not yet attained. Here's how to battle against that fear. Listen to what Psalms 27 says. Just read that thing.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Mm-hmm. Whom shall I fear?
Say that.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Yes, God.
Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident.
Thank you.
One thing have I desired of the Lord.
Listen, I want you to focus on this. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What is that vision? What's that one thing that God has planted in your heart? You don't know how you're going to get there. You don't know how you're going to do it. But it's in my heart. I've spoken it. I've written it. I got one thing that I desire. I haven't yet attained. But if I haven't yet attained for it, what does the psalmist say?
That will I seek after.
That will I seek after. That means I haven't gotten there yet. Go ahead, read.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord
mm-hmm.
all the days of my life,
mm-hmm.
to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
Mm-hmm.
For in the time of trouble.
Believe me, there is going to be a time of trouble in your pursuit of your vision, whatever that is. David has said what his was here. You plug in yours there. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What is that? You plug that in. But here, he said, I am going to have a time of trouble. But go ahead.
For in the time of trouble,
mm-hmm.
he shall hide me in his
but
pavilion.
That's the time that God said, I'm going to hide you. Go ahead.
In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me.
See, listen, listen. The reason it's a secret is not because the devil doesn't know where it is. It's a secret place because the devil has no access to it. God is not going to take you out of the world. The devil knows exactly where you are. But God said, in that time of trouble, I'm going to take away the enemy's access to you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
He's going to be standing right in your midst, and for some reason, he can't find you. You're in a secret place. Why? Because you're seeking after the vision. Now, if you sit there where you always have been, he'll find you. You stay there in your comfort zone. The enemy likes that because he's very comfortable in your comfort zone. He has found a way to become comfortable himself. You find that armchair real nice. Sit right there because I'll always know where you are. And if you rest there long enough, I'll find a way to move you. But in the time of trouble, he's going to hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. In the secret of that holy place is where I'm going to be hidden. And there the devil will have no access to me. Go ahead.
He shall set me upon a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord.
Amen. That's good. Listen, he said here that in the secret of his tabernacle, you're going to be hidden. And then he turned around and said, he's going to set you on a rock. What in the world are you afraid of? God has given you some assurances. So as you pursue the vision that God has given to you, God is saying that if you're in pursuit of that vision, you are going to be hidden in a secret place and you're going to be firmly planted on a rock. The devil can't move you, even if he knew where you were. Even if he could find you, he won't be able to move you. Thing is, now, when we're set upon a rock, I believe that that's not just for the devil. See, the God puts us in that secret place to protect us from the wiles of the devil. But you know what he places on a rock for? To save us and to protect us from each other. How many have been stopped from their vision by other saints? People that are also in that, supposedly in that secret place with you, those that are going into praise and worship with you, are discouraging you from pursuing the vision. Simply because God didn't give it to them, they don't understand it. And so they tell you that's unattainable. Come on, let's be realistic, because God is a God of sense and he's a God of order. So listen, you know, I pray with you. I'm with your sister. I'm with your brother. But listen, come on, let's be realistic about this thing. That just doesn't sound like God. But God told me he was doing a new thing. And see, sometimes I got to be protected and shielded and planted on a rock so I'm not moved by those naysayers in my midst.
I don't care what you say. God told me to unify the body of Christ. I found out just like you did. That's one of the toughest jobs in the church. But I am not moved because you think it can't be attained. I'm in a secret place so the devil can't get a hold of me. And I thought that's all it took, but I found out I needed to be guarded from some of you. And so God put me on a rock so that I couldn't be moved. I like what he said toward the end of that. He said, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I wish that was only talking about the devil. But false witnesses come up even in our midst. And sometimes we don't even understand, or the ones who's saying it don't understand they're being a false witness. So I'm not taking anything away. They're still saints of God. I'm not talking about that. But some people, well-meaning people, will speak falsely because God did not tell them to say that, but they think it simply makes sense. And so they speak false witnesses against my vision. It says here that I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many of you just believe your vision? See, if you don't, you would fail. I'm going to tell you right now. You want to be realistic? Let me show you what reality is. Unless you see and believe the vision that God has given to you, will fail. Scripture says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the last one, and I think very, very significant. We've said the things that hinder us and stop us, the things that get in our way of the pursuit of the goal, is to speak it, to write it, our fear. And then the last one, we simply don't plan for it. We simply don't plan for it. In other words, we have got to get ourselves in position. We say we're going somewhere, but you never get on the highway that leads there. I'm going on a cruise. And I fly to Arizona, but the boat is leaving out of Florida. I think I'm going into the heat of the desert to fight the enemy, and God is trying to tell me to get rest and relaxation for this time. We have no plan. We just doing it how we think we go. But God, this is good. This is good. And I'm supposed to fight the enemy? How many times have you heard me say, not only his will, but his what? His way. We've got to make up in our minds that if I am going to make it to my vision, if I'm going to achieve my goals, I'm going to have to do it God's way. I'm going to have to put myself in position to receive that blessing. I'm going to have to put myself in a position for God to lead me and to get me to the place that I need to go. Come on and read some. Go to Psalms 18. I'm sorry, 118. And listen, I need you to go back and to read all of these scriptures in its entirety. Read all of Psalms 118. But I just want to point out maybe verses 19 and then also 24 through 25. But this is so vitally, vitally important. The planning for your vision, planning to achieve your goals, is at the heart of it. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And too many times we simply stop at the fact that God gave me a vision. And all year long we talk about God gave me a vision. Hallelujah. At the end of the year, we say, thank you, God, for giving me a vision. Next year, God, give me a vision. And the whole time, God says, you still ain't in position. How many times have God told us to get ourselves financially ready for the explosion? God sends then to us people who have needs, and we too broke to meet the needs because we in debt. Yet he gave us all year and every device, every opportunity to get out. And when we got out, we took the extra money and went on a cruise. But I'm talking about being in position. Look, read. We got to get some scripture in it. Read 19.
Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. God, you ask God, open up the gates of righteousness. Open up to me the opportunities. God has opened up the gate. Are you standing in the right? God said, I already opened up the gate. Why don't you come in? God, the gate's closed. No opportunities there. Maybe you're at the wrong gate. Think about this. God's word says he opened up the gates, and I'm still standing there waiting for the door to open. We're trying to figure out why the door ain't open. Listen, there's 12 doors to the gate of the city, and we're standing at the wrong one. We're asking God, open up the door, God. As soon as you open the door, I'll get in. Listen, if this door ain't open, go find another one. God has opened up some door to you, saints. Some door is open to you. 24 through 25.
This is the day which the Lord hath made.
Mm-hmm.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Listen, hold before we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. Listen, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, if you are in position, you are in a position of rejoicing. If you are not able to rejoice in this day, you are not ready for tomorrow. Because we've already found out that trouble will come. And if you haven't learned to position yourself so that trouble does not affect your rejoicing, you are not ready for tomorrow. Because the higher the glory, the higher the trouble. Oh, I'm ready, God, for the next level. I'm ready to go up higher with you. I'm ready for a higher height and deeper depths in God. But God has showed you already that today's troubles stopped you from rejoicing. You need to say, hold up, I've got to stop. I got to get in position where even today's troubles don't stop me, because I know tomorrow's glory is going to bring tomorrow's higher trouble. Read that again. Come on, read that.
This is the day which the Lord hath made.
Uh-huh.
We will rejoice and be glad.
Make up
in
your
it.
Mind that I will rejoice for one reason, because God made the day. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, which day did God not make? See, that day you have permission not to rejoice. I'm giving you permission to not rejoice in the day that God didn't make. You can't stop rejoicing. You don't have to rejoice that day. We're going to make a declaration right now. You don't have to rejoice in the day that God didn't make. Amen. Now, how many got a day? Tell me which it is. We'll put it on the calendar. We'll all come together and we won't rejoice. Go ahead and schedule it, administrator. Now, when is the now? Are you in a position to say, all right, God, I'm ready for the blessing and the prosperity that you spoke over my life now? We say, do it now, God. Do it now. Do it right now, God. Do it right now. God is bringing the blessing. We standing over here saying, do it now. I said, you're not in position. Don't say now, because if God were to release the blessing now and you standing over here, guess what? You missed it. And so many times we miss the blessing of God because God did it right now. but you were standing in the wrong place. Get yourself into position. How do we do that? You plan for it. You plan. What is it that God has spoken over your life? What is a vision that God has given to you? Well, what will it take to achieve that vision? Even if you can't see yourself doing it right now, you lay out the plan, and each step you say, God, I'm ready for it now. Now I'm in position. I don't have it yet. I don't even see it yet. But God, I'm ready now. Open up the doors. This is the day that you've made. I will rejoice. Now I can say, save God now. Send prosperity ready now. Why? I'm in position. I'm in position. I'm ready. Everything. See, when you're in position, you are able to say, everything that you've already told me to do, I've done. All of the preparation you have given to me, I've accomplished. Every word that you spoke to me this past year, I have done, not just heard. And I'm pursuing and seeking the vision. So God, open up the gates now. Send salvation. Now, send that deliverance you promised me. Now, send that prosperity. Now, I'm concluding now. Thank you, First Lady. That's it. What does God want us to do now? What is it that He wants us to do? God has in His hand, He has prosperity. All of the things that we need to accomplish our visions, He has planted in us. Even before we were born, God has already ordained us for some purpose in this life. So that's already done. The visions that we got is a revelation of that purpose. And sometimes God's got to give it to us a little at a time. So God gives us a vision, but it's always, every time, whatever part of that vision God shows you or reveals to you, it's something beyond where you are now. And so God gives you a vision that causes you to step beyond yourself. And God says, now, prepare for it. In the year of trumpets, God is blowing the trumpet and say, we're almost at the end. Are you prepared for it now? I've given you all of this word. I've given you all of these plans of things that you were supposed to do in the past. Where are you now? Let me tell you, most of us, if not all of us, can't say that we've done everything that God has told us. But even then, God says, I got you in a place of repentance now. And I've got you a place where you can say, okay, God, I wish I had done everything you said. But God, I missed some of that. But God, still bring that deliverance, bring that salvation. I repent of those things. Then He says, okay, now I want you to go into a period of fasting and prayer on the Day of Atonement, where we will wipe the slate clean and start you over. Now, if you found yourself in a place where you say, God, I wish I had done everything that I could do, it doesn't mean you cannot achieve your vision. It doesn't mean you have to give up on your goal. You just have to recognize that you are in a place of atonement now. Atone for the things that you meant to do, but didn't do. Receive the blessings for the things that you did do. And then stand out with your hands stretched out to God. Open, ready to receive. Because now you're moving into the Feast of Tabernacles, where the harvest is coming. This is the latter rain. And you can say, God, I'm ready now. Come on, stand to your feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day and this time, this period. Thank you for having us to reflect back
on what we have done and what you have spoken to us. The words that you've given to us through your prophets, the words that you've given to us through one another, even the children, God, have spoken words into our hearts and into our lives. Father, we thank you for every word that you've given to us, oh God, for they're all in preparation for where we're going. Most of all, God, we thank you today for the vision that you've given to us, and we shall not give up on it, but we will achieve, we will pursue it, God. For God, one thing have I desired of you, that will I seek after. Now, Father, we're in a position, we're going to get ourselves, and where we've missed it, Father, we say, God, we're sorry, God, and we repent of those things. Now move us, God, miraculously back into position so that we can say, God, we're ready for the blessing. We're ready for the latter rain. Move, God, upon us even now. We give you honor today, oh God. We glorify you, God. We're going to say that you did it all. We recognize we couldn't do it alone, but we bless your name. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.